Hi, everyone. It's time for Health Essentials with Dr. Roy Morgan of Jacksonville. Here's Dr. Morgan.
And good morning. If you had been here 15 minutes ago, you would have seen this incredible orange glow, kind of a peach orange glow, maybe a little bit of pink in it. I went outside and there was no rain. I come walk right back in the radio station and it sounds like it's coming down hard. And lo and behold, it was. I walked up front. It wasn't raining yet. Isn't it amazing how rain travels? Anyway. All right. Good morning. It's good to be with you today. This program is called Health Essentials. The phone number here at the station is 903-589-8507. Now, I found three things, and the only criteria I had this morning choosing these three topics was they're so easy. You may not agree with me, but I mean, they're super simple. Anyone could do them. Even if you're relatively feeble, you could probably still do these. Well, I came across these studies that I find interesting, and of course, I hope you can extract some good information or tidbits of knowledge from them. One of them is about women over the age of 40, how they can improve their skin and make it more younger looking and softer by doing what, you may ask? By drinking green tea. Dermatologist at the University of Wittenherdecke in Germany. Sorry. I have butchered a few names before. They drew this conclusion from a study in which 60 women that were between the ages of 40 and 65, those were the participants. Okay, I find that part interesting. So according to the researchers, green tea protects the skin against ultraviolet radiation that comes from the sunlight also. But there's more little nuggets of information here. Where did this come from? The Ulrich Heinrich, published in 2011 Journal of Nutrition. And of course, I want to give you full disclosure. Half of the women were on the placebo group, which means they did not have green tea. But for some reason or the other, what they did was they chose green tea that was made from the Coca-Cola Corporation. So Coca-Cola is the one that sponsored this study. See, I gave you full disclosure. But they had these 30 women in the experimental group drink 1 liter of green tea, or if you want to say it this way, we just kind of can break it up into 5 cups of tea. So, let me see, what else did I find? Oh, okay, right here. So, before they started, and also again halfway through, and at the end of this 12 weeks, and so what they did was they just drank 1 liter of green tea a day, and the women in the placebo group, they just drank water. So that what they did was they exposed a small portion of each woman's skin to ultraviolet light. And then they measured how much the skin burned. So they were trying to find out, did green tea actually protect? And see, here's what it says. As you can see below, I'm looking at a chart. I know this is radio, you can't see the chart, but it shows that the green tea, drinking green tea, gave protection against UV radiation. Now, in this study, all of the women, they had type 2 skin, which means they were European, white-skinned or fair-skinned. They burned easily, but maybe they might tan, you know, just a little bit. And so, let me see, what is, oh yes, let me cover this just briefly. Without going into great detail, the women that drank green tea, they measured in milligrams the number of catechins, 1,402. Anyway, they have all these compounds. They're flavonoids, or interesting plant compounds that God designed in the green tea that act as antioxidants, and maybe they act on other levels also. Okay, so when it comes to younger-looking skin, they've got pictures in black and white. I can't really show it to you. But the skin of the women in the control group, they didn't change. They couldn't tell the skin looked any different from start to finish. But that of the women in the experimental group, those were the ones that drank the 5 cups of green tea a day. They demonstrated their skin became softer and less flaky. Obviously, I'm not telling you this for purposes of vanity. But if you can, you know, do something simple that gives you protection and keeps your body in good working order, well, maybe you can avoid. You don't know how many times during the week I hear stories about older people. 3 to 4 days a week, all they're doing is their whole world is built around doctor visits. Okay? I'll leave it at that. What if you could avoid that and you could spend those 3 to 4 days doing something that you felt like was a little bit more productive or in the best interest of your purpose for being created by God? Okay, the photo below shows the change in skin texture of a random subject in the experimental group. The white patches are flakes of skin. I realize you can't read that. Okay, here it goes right here. Now, this is a point that I think is huge right here. Huge. It says those in the green tea group improve the circulation in the skin and the oxygen supply to the skin. What's a different way of saying that? Dry, flaky skin, maybe that means that your circulatory system is not so fabulous. Or, if you want to say you're not getting enough oxygen nutrients to the skin, yeah, that would be true. Now, I have a chart right here, and of course you can't see it, but it's impressive. Compared to the control group, they looked at the blood flow in the skin. The women that consumed the green tea for 12 weeks, I think it was 5 cups or 1 liter, and by the way, that's super simple to do. You could take a 1 liter bottle, put some green tea in it, bingo, you've got your green tea solution right there. They showed that blood flow was 29% better, almost 30. I'm looking at the graph right here. I thought, what human being wouldn't want to have better blood flow? Wouldn't want to have healthier capillaries or arteries or veins. Well, everyone would choose that. Would you like to have 29% less blood flow to your throughout your body? No, and I realize also, the study on the skin in my mind is just reflective of blood flow all over the body. And so if you have less than adequate blood flow on your skin, you know, the skin is, it's got a lot of white crusty stuff on it. I made up the word crusty. I meant to say flaky. You know what I mean? White, dry skin. That means you need more blood flow. So if it's on the skin, that's what's happening to your brain and to your heart and maybe blood flow through your kidneys. Okay? So they go on to write that improvements of the skin structure may be related to flavanol-mediated increases in cutaneous blood flow. They're just saying those natural God-given or God-created compounds that are found in green tea, they just sort of magically help increase blood flow throughout the skin. Here's what else the researchers write, and it's going to be, this ain't rocket science. The researchers write, microcirculation is important for nutrient and oxygen supply of the skin, you know, because that's what they're looking at, but you and I could say the same for your thyroid or your pancreas or your spleen or your thymus gland or your bone marrow. Yeah, you need more, better microcirculation. And they said improved delivery likely affects the skin condition and appearance. Yeah, you think it's always a win when you can improve blood flow and oxygen nutrient delivery. Every system in the body works better because you're giving them the very thing that God designed them to require, food and oxygen. Oh, I forgot one point here. They looked at the oxygen saturation of the skin. And of course, you've got to have good blood flow or good circulation to get there, right? Okay. So the women that drank the green tea, oh, I meant to say this first. The women in the control group, those are the women that just had the placebo or they had water, I'm guessing. I really didn't look that up, but I'm just making that up. Maybe, but they didn't have green tea, that's my point. Their oxygen saturation decreased by 3.6%. I don't even know what's up with that. That doesn't even make sense. Okay. Unless it does make sense. Maybe it means if we're not taking steps to improve our health, if we're not doing something that's in our best interest, maybe that's what we should expect. Blood flow decreases. Now, they said that the women in the control group, the blood flow decreased by 0.9%. That's not even 1%, but you get where I'm coming from. But oxygen saturation dropped by 3.6%. Let me run this idea past you. If you're not actively trying to learn and to grow and to improve yourself, well, what's happening? Well, you're on this downward cycle of deterioration, or organs in the body begin to deteriorate. Have you ever heard the phrase, if you don't use it, you lose it? So if you never use your muscles, what's going to happen? Well, they're going to become weaker. So listen to this right here. I'm looking at the graph. I just told you that the women that drank green tea, the improvement, it was 29% exactly. Relative blood flow, that's a category. Percentage of improvement. So much better blood flow with the green tea. 29% better. Or would you like to lose about 0.9% or 1% of your blood flow? Well, no. This is the one that really impressed me right here. They say that oxygen saturation, and you know, one of the greatest predictors of how long a person's going to live on this earth is how much oxygen they can hold in the body. So they actually do a category called oxygen saturation of the skin. And so what they found was the women that drank the green tea, there was an increase in oxygen saturation by 34%. Now, the women that didn't drink the green tea, they actually decreased oxygen saturation by 3.6%. Okay. Here's the conclusion. According to the study author, the present study demonstrated that dietary constituents protected the skin and improved overall skin quality. The researcher summarized, regular consumption of a beverage rich in tea flavanols contributed to photoprotection against harmful UV radiation, and they helped maintain skin structure and function. Now, how hard would that be today to make yourself some green tea? That's the first thing I did this morning, is I went and made 2 cups of green tea. I probably shouldn't tell you this because I like double up on it. I had 1 bag of green tea and I had 1 bag of hibiscus, but that's what I like though. Super simple. I love hibiscus. Okay, there's your article right there. It comes from the year 2011, the Journal of Nutrition, 2011, the June edition, pages 1,202 to 8. Anyway, what do you think about that? Is that something that you could do today? Yes, absolutely. Let's go ahead and go to our phone line. Somebody's trying to call. Good morning and welcome to the program. Are you there? Good morning.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
I think you have your radio on in the background because I hear some reverberation.
Okay, I turned it down a little bit. Good morning to you again.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate your phone call, sir.
Hey, this is the second time I didn't get a chance to talk very much the first time, but that's here nor there. Look here, Doc, I've got an issue with what they call carpal tunnel, and I need to know what is it that I can possibly do, take, or start taking in order to get away from having possible surgery. If surgery is possible or needs to be done, you tell me that's the way I need to go. I'll stop talking.
All right. No, that's good. I'm glad you brought this up. So what you have a condition is, you've got carpal tunnel syndrome where the carpal tunnel is inflamed, it's irritating, and it's producing extraordinary inflammation and pressure on the median nerve that goes to your, you know, fingers of your hand. And so your hand doesn't work right. It's uncomfortable. It feels bad, right?
You're right. It just tingles. It doesn't hurt, Doc. It just tingles.
Yeah, maybe this is going to be simple then. Okay, what just popped in my mind, I remember in the late 1980s, that was probably before you were born, or not. But in the 1980s, there was a news report, and on the television, there was a school of osteopathic medicine, I want to say from Chicago, If I'm wrong about that, then I don't remember correctly. But what they did was, instead of treating all these people with carpal tunnel syndrome with a surgical procedure, they did one thing. They had them do just a very specific stretching routine. And if I'm not mistaken, it was like a 98% cure rate. But that you could see how that would capture my attention. I'm going, you mean to tell me if they just did this highly specific stretching regimen that it would cause the carpal tunnel to be alleviated and go away? Well, the answer is yes. So what you might do is you might go to the internet and type in, what is the best therapy regimen for home treatment of carpal tunnel syndrome? You could probably find a video on YouTube that shows you the exact stretching routine. There's not a camera here at the station where I could show you by moving my fingers or wrist in a certain position. But if you look that up, you got nothing to lose. Okay, number two. There is a vitamin, a B vitamin. It's a water-soluble vitamin known as vitamin B6. And there are plenty of studies that show that when a person has a deficiency of vitamin B6, what they tend to have more of is carpal tunnel syndrome. So there's more than one way that we can look at this. We could actually probably build a case that if the second toe on a person's foot is starting to get numb, that might be a classic sign of a vitamin B12 deficiency. But if a person has carpal tunnel, that just may be the physical manifestation of a vitamin B6 deficiency. And so usually in these studies, they don't use natural forms of B6. They just use a synthetic form like pyridoxin HCl or the more active form, pyridoxal 5-phosphate. But they'll usually give somewhere between 50 to maybe 200 milligrams of B6. And there is a very high correlation that when you give that to a human being, that the carpal tunnel just disappears and goes away.
Okay. Is that something that I can buy over the counter?
You can get B6 real easy. So you could go to any health food store, anybody that has B6, and you could get that and you could try it. But I want to say it's between 50 to 200 milligrams was the dose in these studies. I mean, I haven't looked it up in a long time, but that's just my guess. But you could always also just go to the computer and type in, what is the dose of vitamin B6 that's been used to resolve carpal tunnel syndrome? Now, this third one is going to be more closely related to number one. Now, this is my opinion. I've got two or three ideas right here. Number one, if a person begins to lose the strength, their grip strength, and so they have a device called a grip dynamometer. If you don't know what that is, you could go to like Amazon.com and type in grip strength tester for simplicity. And they have these grip dynamometers that are electronic now. They used to be all hydraulic. But you could probably get one for like $30 if you wanted one. But I'm only saying this for a couple of three reasons, but I just want you to like catch my main principle here. If this was the year 1980, okay? I don't know if I was a man in 1980. I think I was a young man because I was still like a teenager. But if I were to grip that dynamometer, I could probably peg about 120 pounds. That was the normal for men back in 1980. Now, in the year 2020, if they test men, they're hitting about 80 pounds. 80 pounds of grip strength. That device measures them. But I can tell you right now, just about every problem that I would see with a man or a woman that relates to things like this is they have lost their strength. Now, I know you know where I'm coming from here. But
that's exactly what's happening. I don't mean to cut you off, but it's mostly, and I'm right-handed. This happened probably 6 months ago, but I'm not going to go into all that, how it got started. But go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine. I'm glad you broke in. There's a technique called the farmer's walk or the farmer's carry, where you carry a dumbbell or a kettlebell. That is hands down one of the best ones to improve that. They have another technique called a dead hang. That would be number two. Or you could even go to the grocery store and buy one of those gripping strengthening devices. But that's the way that you solve that. If you lose your muscle strength, you're going to have tingling. If you... The thing of it is, God has designed the body to adapt so rapidly and so fast. I bet you anything, you would literally amaze yourself at how quickly you get your strength back. But if I had a grip dynamometer, I would test you. And if you're under 80 pounds, I'd say that's your problem right there. So much of what you need could be fixed just by improving your grip strength. Does that sound reasonable?
Yes, it does. And it's getting on my, I'm a faith man, but I'm believing that I don't have to have surgery because I've listened to your radio information for years, man, and you've been spot on about a lot of things. So I said, you're my last resort, Doc. So I need your help big time.
Well, I feel like I'm giving you some good stuff that's relatively easy to do. Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
It is, well, let me make a statement first. The only thing that's really going to matter in all of eternity is going to be our faith in God, right?
Yes, I believe that.
But you and I are probably going to agree. We're talking about an act of faith. Kind of like, yes, Lord, I hear what you're telling me to do and I'll do it. Because that would not be an accurate definition of faith. To say, I believe that, but I ain't doing it. that really wouldn't be like a great example of faith. It's always an act of faith, a faith that takes action. And so that's all I'm asking you to do is take action on these things.
That's what I'm trying to do.
All right. Go to Amazon, get yourself a grip dynamometer, and test yourself. you need to blow $30 today. No, I'm just joking about that. But if as your grip strength improves, you'll probably find all this resolves and goes away, and you're going, oh, my goodness, that was easy.
Okay, so first of all, I'm going to go ahead and try to do the B6 deficiency thing, and I can go to any health food place.
Yeah, and if that doesn't work, no big deal. It's not that expensive. And so you can put it to the test.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the farmer's walk or the farmer's carry with a dumbbell or kettlebell in your hands. And then look at one called a dead hang. You can look up that one. It's easy.
Okay.
And just test your grip strength. Maybe you have a buddy you go to church with that has a grip dynamometer.
Okay.
Man,
well,
have you?
I'll look into that.
I've seen these guys before where they try to squeeze it. And I think for what is it for a man? I can't remember the number. But once a man hits like the middle 50s on that grip strength, and that's the best he can do, he becomes so frail, so feeble, so weak. Your strength is the ticket. So let me know what happens.
Thank you so much, Doctor. I appreciate you so much, and keep doing what you're doing.
Hey, thanks for the encouragement, buddy. I'm rooting for you, and surely we'll have a very good result that'll make everybody happy.
Man, I sure hope so.
You have no choice. You got to.
Well, it's wearing me out, man, because I'm used to doing a lot of stuff around the house, and I'm physically right-handed, but I have to do a lot of the stuff. When it comes to gripping or something like that, I have to use my left hand. And I don't want to get long-winded. I know there's someone else.
Oh, no, you're doing great, buddy. You're encouraging others. No, thank you very much. I'm rooting for you. Let me know how it turns out, okay?
Thank you so much. Have a great and blessed day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I think I forgot to tell you, there's one simple stretching technique that involves somebody putting thumbs to open up that carpal tunnel, but you could look that up. Okay, let's go to the phone lines again. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Good morning. Thanks for your phone call.
Hi. My question today is I'm really on a journey to get my gut healthy. I feel like it's distended. I feel like you hear about leaky gut. You hear about things like that, and death begins in the colon, and I know that I have, eat a lot of ultra processed foods, and I'll just admit it.
You mean you used to?
Well, honestly, for about 2.5 weeks, 2 weeks, I've been off of, I got off all grains.
Oh, good job.
All my grains.
Well, have you seen any improvements?
No. Okay, well, I'm calling you.
You tell me, what is the number one thing that you want to see to give you confidence that you're making improvement?
Well, you know, just several things. I wake up about 3:30 in the morning. I know that means something, and I can't go back to sleep.
What's your liver?
Yeah, and I know I have fatty liver because my gut just sticks out. I'm not a drinker. I never have been. I mean, I'll drink wine occasionally with friends or something, you know, out, but that's not the problem.
Is this every single day you go out with friends?
No. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm trying to be funny. I shouldn't do that.
No. But I just don't, I don't understand. I think maybe I have that permeability. Maybe, you know, I've heard of that leaky gut. And to add insult to injury, I've had a tummy tuck. Okay. And it's still, like, my clothes, I'm around 190, but everywhere else is proportioned fine, but clothes don't fit me because my midsection, I know that's the worst fat, but my friend is really a big proponent of yogurt. She has a yogurt machine, and she makes her own. It takes about 36 hours to cook it. And so she wants me to buy one and make it, and she says that will help my gut biome. I bought kefir. I'm thinking, should I just kefir all day? I really want my tummy to go down. I want to lose weight everywhere, and I want to be healthy, of course.
Okay, so let me give you kind of some foundational principles here, and you tell me what you think about them, okay?
Okay.
All right, I'm rubbing my hands together because I'm going to try to give you a sales pitch, which means I'm going to try to trick you into I'm going to try to educate you into getting well. Did I say trick? I really didn't mean that. It was just a slip of the tongue.
Freudian slip.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so each one of these things I'm telling you, you could question it forwards and backwards. But one of the reasons I'm saying these also is you could just go look them up yourself after I tell you. So if we want to recondition the gut to where it becomes healthier, so here's two or three sales pitches, okay? Number one, what I'm going to request that you do is every morning that you wake up, I want you to make it a priority. You're going to take one lemon, cut it in half, take your lemon juice device and just ream it out. And what I want you to do is I want you to make a fresh, living, enzyme-rich lemon water.
Okay.
And so that's going to be your number one thing that you do when you wake up in the morning is you're going to make a glass of lemon water. Now, why would we do that? Because lemon juice is the universal solvent. That means it helps dissolve and break down debris. And yes, most likely one of the main issues we're dealing with is a fatty liver, but that can't be fixed in one day. But the lemon juice is going to start gently scrubbing your liver and your gut clean. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. Sales pitch number two. If there was one food that I'm going to hit pretty hard that you need, it's probably going to be a raw form of sauerkraut. When I say raw, one that's not pasteurized or cooked. I want it to be alive. And so there's a brand name called Wild Brine. Brine, B-R-I-N-E, like the water's brine water. And they have one called caraway apple cabbage sauerkraut. That's usually the gentlest one that I know of. But I'm telling you, it will help recondition your tummy, and it will help give your tummy some relief if you could eat a forkful two or three times a day, or even once a day if it's all you can do. So that's easy right there. But the sauerkraut is such an interesting fermented product. So you can do all the research and study about sauerkraut, but what I really want you to do is I just want you to take action on it. I want you to be a woman of faith and says, okay, I hear what he's saying, I'll do it. But the sauerkraut, if you'll do that very consistently and faithfully, you're going to see a result just from those two things right there. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, point number three. I think you're really right on track. I think most likely the lining of your gut's pretty beat up, and you do have leaky gut, but we want to fix that, right?
Yes.
One of the ways that you can fix that is by taking a form of microalgae called chlorella.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of chlorella before?
Yes, and I think I've even bought it, but no, that was spirulina. I've tried that.
Well, spirulina is wonderful in its own right. I think they work a little bit differently, but for the gut, the chlorella, I know you're a lady. I would never say anything to embarrass you, but most likely you're going to have significantly improved bowel movement or elimination when you take the chlorella. It'll help heal the lining of the gut. It's just a single cell layer thick.
Okay.
But I think you'll have much higher quality bowel movements. Does that sound good?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, like, can I give you an example from the other day?
Wait.
A woman was telling me that she hadn't had anything to eat in like 7 days, so she was doing a fast. I don't have a problem with that. That's what people do when they're trying to heal. But she said, you can't believe the amount of stuff that's coming out of me. But I know you know where I'm going with this. But we kind of asked the question, why am I pooping all day long if I'm not eating? Well, you know what the answer is? She just had all that debris that was backed up inside of her tummy.
Hmm.
I mean, does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So there is a case for, if you want your gut to heal, giving it.
I did just have a colonoscopy about 2 months ago, and everything checked out just fine.
Well, I'm happy about that. That's good. I don't want you having ulcers and polyps and diverticuli.
Yeah.
Or roundworms. No, the last one's just a joke. I'm sorry. So sometimes one of the most important issues of trying to improve your health is just removing any obstacles to healing. So what I want to do is I want to kind of sell you on the idea of simplifying your diet. You can eat meat, but I need you to focus on vegetables and berries. I need the fiber and the bioflavonoids and all the nutrients that are found to get you back in good repair. So you've got lemon juice. You could even take apple cider vinegar before every meal if you wanted to, maybe a couple teaspoons, just to see if that'll help stimulate digestion. Now, one of the things that I'll use when, and I hope this doesn't sound crude the way I'm going to say it, if I want to scrub all that old dried gunky feces that's stuck in the colon, I'll use a supplement called okra pepsin just to help scrub all that gunk out. But the chlorella, there's a Goldilocks just right dose, but just start out with what the manufacturer recommends on the chlorella tablets. And the next thing is you just got to really go out of your way to make sure you're very, very well hydrated. There's just no way around it. But if you're really well hydrated, then you got a chance. And if you use sea salt, like Redmond sea salt, something like that, now you've got another advantage. And if you supplement your diet with plenty of magnesium, and what you may have to do is initially, you may have to take a little bit more magnesium than what the manufacturer recommends just to help assist in regaining your ability to have good, high-quality bowel movements. I know this doesn't relate to you, but if I have a man that walks in my office and he smells horrible, I think, okay, your colon's sick. We've got to clean that sucker up.
Okay.
So, are you with me on that?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
The next thing that I really, really need you to do, and so you can do this any way you want, but probably, what are they called? Their leg raises while you're standing up, but you're usually your arms are supported. If I had to just choose one exercise, actually I'm going to change my mind and do two. If we held a deep squat where you're just squatting on the ground with your feet flat, heels on the ground, for about mm-hmm. 10 minutes a day, that would probably go a long way just to helping to realign the colon, to get the pelvic floor muscles, improve their tone. But doing any type of lower abdominal exercise, you're just restoring strength. But that gives you a way to massage and move all that fluid out. So if you did those and you went for walks every day, just anything, you've got to get more blood flow to the colon if you want to fix it. It's just inconceivable that a person can sit on the couch all day long and expect their colon to magically improve. Now, of course, you can go to all the GI doctors you want to, and they can say, let me give you some Miralax. It's all it is antifreeze. What's the big deal? Yeah, you'll go to the bathroom, but it's not going to be good.
Okay. another question I had is, and also about my grandkids, is what do you think? Does everybody have parasites? I mean, they have.
I think every human being. Yeah, if you got a dog, you might as well. I see people frequently take a fork from their plate, put it in their mouth, and then they take the same fork and they put it in their dog's mouth with the food, and they put it back in their mouth and lick the fork. And I'm going, you're going to get parasites by doing... I mean, dogs are born with parasites.
Yeah, I just was wondering if there's any correlation. Like, maybe I have parasites.
Well, why don't you do this right here? And I was actually going to bring this up for the sake of trying to... I'm a huge fan of what's called Spanish black radish and garlic. Garlic has got to be one of the greatest things that a human being can consume. If you don't want to smell like garlic, obviously, the trick is taking it at nighttime before you go to bed.
Okay.
But garlic is phenomenal for helping to remove parasites from the human body. Okay. But yes, all of us are going to come in contact. If you've had a cat or a dog, then you probably have had parasites. But in some people, their immune system is so strong and robust, it can just get rid of them pretty easy. But others are not that way. Just like I mentioned, I'm sorry.
Oh, I just didn't know if I should. I just feel like some of the things my grandkids are doing, and they have a big golden retriever in and out, rolling around, coming in, walking all over. I just feel like...
I know what the golden retriever's doing. There's a dead fish laying in the middle of the road, and he has to run out there and roll his body all over the dead fish.
Yes,
and then
yes.
He comes back and says, let me roll around on you now.
I know. And I just feel like, I told her, I said, maybe you should get, well, my daughter works at a urgent care, and she said a little boy came in the other day for, he had, parasites. And I said, well, why don't you just get your kids on something, whatever it is, does it hurt to get rid of them with it? I mean, if you don't have them and you take that, is it bad for you? I don't know.
I'm going to see if I can find this real quick. I had a very sweet, nice lady. She's always very thoughtful. What is she? Right here. She sent me a text Thursday at 7:55, and she said this. The Texas House just passed a bill that would allow ivermectin to be sold over the counter without a prescription. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I want it to be true. But what has ivermectin always been used for? For parasites.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from a natural occurring soil organism from, I think it's a soil from Japan, but it may be from all over the world. I don't know. But God made it. God made the bacteria that manufactures ivermectin.
But, I will take that. Yes, I will.
Yeah, so that's something that would be worth someone's consideration. So I don't really know if that's accurate. I want it to be, but just because I want it to be doesn't make it accurate. But hopefully this is good.
I heard there's a link to cancer, preventing cancer, too. I heard that.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's good to walk the earth and to take good care of yourself, because that's your ticket to serving God and fulfilling your life's purpose, right?
Yes. Well, basically, I will try. I wrote down what you said, take action. Lemon out. Last night, because I know these things, I sat a lemon out.
Then good job. Good girl.
And guess what? I get up and I run to my coffee, and the lemon's still sitting here.
Well, you can still have your coffee, but you need to have it 30 minutes after your lemon.
I know, but I'm gonna start doing...
Okay, so I have no choice but to do this, but I'm going to use that electric shock collar for the golden retriever, and we're going to put it on... Never mind. I almost got carried away there. I wasn't really thinking in a kind way. I was going to turn the shock down to like a 2 or 3 instead of a 5.
It's getting that bad. I need it. I really do. But I appreciate all your help, and I'm gonna
I'm going to get healthy and get healed. I know it.
I'm telling you right now, with an attitude like yours, you can do it. You know what you know what you can wake up every morning and you can say to yourself, is it possible that I can actually do all things through Christ who gives me strength? And the answer is
yes.
I agree with you. Yeah. It is. But there's nothing wrong with a person saying, Lord, I have a hard time with this. I do not want to succumb to it. If I do what's right, that's going to be my ability to serve you better. So this is a good conversation. I love it.
Well, thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I'm going to get on this. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. Let me know how it works out. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. There's a phone line officially open. Area code 903-589-8507. All right. Hang on and let's see if I can get this button pushed. All right. There we go. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, Doc. I just was thinking about the passing of Dr. James Dobson, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he did so much for people, and I really appreciated that man. But one of the things that Dr. Dobson used to talk about a lot was oxytocin.
Yeah.
The advantages of oxytocin. And a Christian man that doesn't have a family, what's a good source for oxytocin?
Shaking hands with people, getting hugs, holding the door open for someone. If you sit down to your desk or your table or a chair and you write a little love note to somebody at church like, Mrs. Jones, I haven't seen you in a couple of weeks and I was just concerned about you. Is there anything I can do to help? Like, would it make your day better if I brought you a large jar of gold nuggets? Would that make your day better? But they have done studies that show that if you do an act of kindness, like holding the door open for somebody or helping a person across the street. I saw the funniest commercial the other day. It was with Baker Mayfield. Do you know who Baker Mayfield is?
I guess not.
Well, he's a quarterback in the NFL. I can't remember where he is right now. But he's helping an old lady across the street, and he's holding some chicken nuggets. And the lady says, you know, what would really be nice is if you shared your nuggets with him. He wouldn't do it. Anyway, there's a bunch of bad commercials, but I thought that was funny. So anytime that you go out of your way to do something nice for somebody else, what you're doing is you're helping to get a surge of oxytocin. If you're a single man, you could take a weighted blanket. They have blankets that they sell, either 5, 10, 15, 20 pounds. They may do more. I haven't researched it in a while. But they're filled with glass beads. You could lay that on top of yourself at night when you sleep, and that squeezing action that generates oxytocin. Or if you have a... See, you're not, I know you're not a dog person. You're a cat person because you're from Alaska. Those are cat people.
Oh, I'm a dog person.
Oh, I got that one wrong, man.
But pet, you're a member of the Van Zandt County Bloodhound Team.
You know what? I was thinking about robbing a bank today and leaving my T-shirt at the scene, so you could track me down, couldn't you?
Probably could do that.
You know what? Crime doesn't pay. I repent. I'm not doing that. But any time that you pet or hold an animal like a dog or a cat, that increases oxytocin.
Okay. When my wife and me were house parents at Pleasant Hills Children's Home, we were involved with children a lot. And I was just constantly putting my hand up on top of a child, you know, and to bless them and pass on the blessings of the Lord by... touching them.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Now, I'm kind of reluctant to do that now because it might be a wrong, you know, somebody might take it.
Yeah, a person could easily misinterpret that, but that's part and parcel to the perversion of this present world, isn't it?
Yes, it is. All of the world.
Yeah, and I respect what you're saying, but I think you're making a very good point. You don't want somebody to say, hey, that's a dirty old man or a creepy person. And so, you know, a dog or a cat is going to be probably your next best bet. And exercise improves all that. So yeah. If you're not exercising,
I have a horse. I think that's beneficial.
Yeah, you bet you. A horse is great. Do you know all the health conditions? What now?
especially when you're trimming their hooves.
Oh yeah.
But I've just been thinking about that a lot, and I thought I'm going to ask Dr. Morgan about that one day.
Well, they say there's a rumor that dark chocolate has been shown to help stimulate oxytocin, but I don't know if I could recommend that because that would be too fun and too delicious for you.
Okay. I'm going to take you up on that.
Now, I haven't seen any studies that saying that liver and onions can do that, but I'm just going to assume that it probably would.
I'm a regular there, too, and lemon water.
Oh, good job. Good job, man.
Okay, one more thing, break with that, if we can. Can I ask you one more thing?
Yes, sir, you can.
I play the guitar, I sing, I like to sing gospel music and old Roger Miller, songs like Roger Miller and stuff like that. But what is a good source of preparing a voice for singing if you're not a smoker? I think a lot of smokers would smoke up a bunch before they start singing. Do you ever suspect that?
I know, they sound good, don't they? And some of them do.
Yeah, they do. It makes a difference to their voice tone. And I'm auctioneer, but I'm not going to start smoking.
I know this is horrible for me to do, but about how many years ago was this on the radio? I'm going to say maybe 25. I was on the radio, here at the station about 25 years ago. And this woman calls, and I asked her the question. I said, how long have you been a smoker? And this was her response. How long? What do you mean, smoker? I'm going, ma'am, it's kind of obvious that you're a smoker. I mean, my dad smokes cigarettes every single day. Well, that's not very nice of you to judge me. No, I'm just joking about that. But I don't know the answer to that. I always think that lemon juice or gargling with apple cider vinegar, that would be a way to kind of clear your vocal cords. It's usually half water, half apple cider vinegar. But I know if you go to YouTube, they have vocal exercises that they teach you to do to get that rich smoker voice.
Okay. What about neti pots?
Well, that would be good for anybody, just to help cleanse all the impurities and the viruses and toxins from the air and your nasal passages. Sounds good.
Okay, and sometimes when I'm working outside and it's real hot, my voice will increase in a higher pitch. What causes that?
Dehydration. Yeah, it's like anything else. If I said that your lungs are literally 97% water by weight and volume, or volume, that would be true. Mm-hmm. And so if a person was even 2% dehydrated, what you would see is a significant reduction in the performance of the lungs to be able to remove oxygen from your breath and take it to the body and also get rid of waste. So yeah, your voice is going to be more high-pitched either when you're stressed or when you're dehydrated. So if you're well hydrated, you can go a long way to staying in great working order.
And I've already got the idea today from your program. I need to start drinking the green tea, so I'm good there too.
You know what? I think that's a pretty good idea because it increases circulation and oxygen saturation.
I gained today by listening to you. And
do you know who's the one that really wins? I win because I like reading this stuff. Isn't it powerful when you hear when you hear the truth, you just kind of like gravitate toward it and say, I can do that. I can drink a cup of green tea every day.
Yep, and I just read yesterday in the Bible about the advantage of learning and studying. That's in the Bible, so
What I want you to do is do your best. You don't have to be perfect, but quote that verse about learning and study.
Okay. I wished I could do that. I know exactly what it says.
Is it the New Testament or Old Testament?
It's in Hosea.
Oh, is it the one about my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge verse?
Yeah, exactly. That's
okay, cool. Man, yeah. Well, man, that's a pretty good takeaway. See,
yeah, that's a good one.
And maybe everything that I mention, a person is either growing and learning or they're regressing and getting unlearned. That might have been the right one. But yeah, it's there's no just sitting idle in this world. You're either moving toward or you're losing ground. Isn't that true?
That is true. Yes, it is, sir.
I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you very much.
Thank you too, Doc, and good day to you.
Hey, have a great one, buddy. Bye-bye. All right, there's a phone line open. The phone number here at the station is area code 903-589-8507. And it seems we have another caller. Let me go to the phone line. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have heard you talking about how to eliminate stones of various organs. I just found out someone I know has in their bladder. What can you say about that?
Excuse me. I pushed the button while I took a drink of water. Forgot to turn it back on. Anyway, so stones in the bladder. The common remedy that she has access to is called... can I try to spell it out? I think the first word is chonka. Piedra. I think it's like a South American remedy. Do you know anybody that has any training in Espanol?
I know a few. Mine's Portuguese, so I can help you with that.
Well, that's close enough, isn't it?
Well, let's try.
Okay, I think it's called chonka piedra.
Okay.
Actually, maybe I should look it up on my phone. That way I can get... But that's the common name in English would be stonebreaker.
Oh, is it the... What they call...
It's called stonebreaker.
Gravel root?
No, that's a different one, but that's the one I would go to next, is I love gravel root. Mm-hmm. Gravel root, historically, is very good at helping to... remove stones, whether it dissolves them, breaks them down where they can be passed, anywhere in the urinary tract. So from the kidney, the ureter, bladder, all the way down.
Yeah, okay, so that should work for us.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll pass it on. That's what I needed to know.
That and the other thing I'd look at is most likely she has far less magnesium than what she really needs.
What is that? Magnesium?
Is he Portuguese?
No.
Okay. Well, that's his problem. I have never heard of a Portuguese person ever having a bladder stone. It's impossible. The Portuguese people, their bladders are super clean. I know that much.
Is that so?
Yes. You can write that down and take it to the bank. The foods that probably have the highest... causation with bladder stones are going to be sugar, drinking soft drinks with phosphoric acid. That's a big one. But then foods that are very high in what's called oxalate or oxalic acid. So that's going to be spinach, white potatoes, nuts, and stevia. That means don't consume stevia. Don't use it.
Okay. Should have made a list to pass.
Well, I said spinach, white potatoes, nuts, N-U-T-S.
Okay.
How do you say peanut in Portuguese?
I don't remember.
You know what? I've only asked you for one word today, and you can't deliver.
It's too early, and I'm rusted. I speak English 24/7, so I think that's
a pretty good reason why you don't. I thought you were going to say... I thought you were going to say cacahuate.
Well, I just remember, it's a big word, amendoing, so
That's all right. I'm only just joking. But there's a common sweetener called stevia.
Yes,
man, yes. I do not like that when it comes to the kidneys or the urinary tract or bladder, which is all the same. I just think it has the potential of just causing stones to form. I guess you know what I'm saying. I'm not a fan of stevia. I don't like stevia.
Yes.
Okay.
People that drink a lot of tea, would that be a contributor, like the excess tea? Or
well, if it's sweet tea, yes. If it's sweet tea. Have you ever seen a person go through the drive-thru of Chicken Express and have them deliver 1 million gallons of sweet tea to their vehicle? I don't know. I've seen people get 5 gallons before when I'm driving by. It's just like unbelievable. I think people are addicted to sweet tea.
It hasn't grown on me yet, so I can't relate. But
Is sweet tea not a big deal in Portugal?
No. Well, I'm actually Brazil, but it's no. We are more into fruit, drinks, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Which I don't do that easy because I know it's not good.
Yeah.
At least not anymore.
So, gravel root is one of my most favorite herbs when it comes to responding to stones forming in along the urinary tract.
Okay.
All right.
I appreciate your help.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Bye-bye. My goodness, it is raining so hard. It is unbelievable. I can't even see. I'm standing up right now. I'm looking out the window. Can you actually hear that? Can you hear that coming through the microphone? It is heavy-duty rain, buddy. You would think we were in the rainforest of Brazil right now on a cloudy day. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I know we're running out of time here quickly, but I wanted to ask you about cardiac CT score.
Ask away. Zero. If your cardiac CT score is zero, you got nothing to worry about.
That is definitely not zero. That's for sure. Well, which number I'm looking at here would be the number to answer the question. Is it? There's a 218 on here.
Did you say 218?
218.
What it will do is in the report or your test results, it'll tell you exactly where the calcification is. It'll tell you which artery. It may be the right anterior coronary. It may be the circumflex, the Widowmaker. It may be a posterior artery, but it'll tell you exactly where it is.
Well, it's the statin method, LAD.
Yeah, the left anterior descending.
Okay, so that's what that means. Okay.
Yeah, I think it is.
Left anterior descending, well, LAD. Okay.
Yeah.
62, LCX is 89, and RCA is 35.
Well, those are your three arteries that have the most gunk and plaque and debris in them then.
I see. So, okay. Radiation dose, does that mean anything?
Not to me.
Okay. All right, well, so I got some work to do now.
Yeah,
this would be ideal for me to be consuming
cod liver oil. Yeah, cod liver oil would be great. That's a good choice. But another very important vitamin for helping this right here, I'm going to give you two. One is called IP6 for short. It stands for inositol hexaphosphate.
Okay.
It comes from rice bran.
Rice bran.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to tell you it's natural, it's not synthetic, but that can be very helpful at removing plaque and debris. I think garlic is good. I didn't intend on talking about that, but it's called vitamin K2. So sometimes it's called minoquinone 4 or minoquinone 7, which let's just call it K2, but you got to take enough of it. But that's one thing that can, and oh, one more. I read this article the other day about berberine, and unfortunately we're out of time, but berberine was shown to decrease the plaque or the calcifications of the coronary arteries, and I thought, that's amazing. Yeah, I'll take it. Okay. Anyway, we'll have to pick it up next week, buddy.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your phone call. I really appreciate you. Bye-bye.